Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to your Dunamos Life. I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard, Executive Director and CEO of Dunamos Center Ministries in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Here at Dunamos Center Ministries, our mission is to bring praise, honor, and glory to God by building Christ-centered, heart-connected marriages, births, and families who have deeper relationship with God and each other. I'm here today with my co-host, Catherine Pearson.
Hello there.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi.
So, we've got some big topics coming up on the show, and this is just such a controversial one today.
It is.
And I'm not even sure why it needs to be so controversial, but it has become almost a warring point in some ways.
It's so true. Yes. I feel like there are two camps.
And they're very
issue.
Extreme, aren't they?
Right.
Yeah. So the issue we're talking about today is vaccinations. It is just, it just brings up people's hackles, you know, one way or the other.
Right.
And so then we end up having no reasonable conversations.
Right.
There's just this battle going on. And I don't understand in some ways why it's such an emotionally charged topic when it really should be a parenting decision.
It's true that it is emotionally charged. And I think because it's a parenting decision, it questions, you know, how parents care for their children. Maybe there's healthcare providers that say, well, if you loved your children, you would give them vaccines to protect them.
Right. And then they add, and if you don't, I won't be your doctor.
Yes.
So it is interesting, too, because it's almost as if my decision being different than your decision as a parent somehow is me telling you you're a worse parent than I am.
Right.
Even though I'm not really saying whether it's right or wrong to make the decision, it's just the way we go about making this decision to vaccinate children isn't really even rooted in, I've done my research, I've asked the Lord, I've really looked at the pros and cons of it. It's rooted in all this emotion, really.
And I think that emotion probably comes down to fear.
Yeah.
Because there's so much fear about, you know, on both sides.
Right.
I'm afraid that my child is going to get a deadly disease.
And die.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
But then on the other side of the argument, people could be just as fearful that I'm afraid that my child is going to have a severe disability or possibly death from the vaccine itself.
Right. And we know that both have happened over the course of history.
Yes.
So when people say, I don't want to see statistics, they're saying, I don't want to make a decision rooted in quality information, really.
Mm-hmm.
Or in the best we know.
Mm-hmm.
There's just this emotional thing because none of us wants to live with the idea that we did something that caused our child to be disabled or killed.
Yeah.
However, we can never escape that as a parent, can we?
Gosh darn it. I think you're right. We can't. Our parenting decisions, bottom line, affect our children.
Oh, yeah.
You know, whether it's giving them good food or whether it's giving them the vaccination or whether it's not.
Yes. And I will say, you know, honestly, when people ask me about this issue, and my children are all grown now, so I have the benefit of hindsight of
mm-hmm.
saying, you know, do I regret a decision? Would I have done something differently? And I still, even in that, Catherine, I'm not saying anybody has to do exactly what I even see in my own hindsight. But on the issue of vaccines, in hindsight, I would not vaccinate the way that I did.
Yeah.
Okay. And I learned that as you go kind of thing.
True.
And see, the thing is we have to say, I don't want to defend a bad decision by saying, okay, everybody should do what I did because I'm somehow defending what I perceive as a bad parenting decision. And a lot of times we don't want to feel guilty about those, so we defend the decision we made. And I'm flat out saying, I don't feel I made the best decision there. I don't feel guilty about it either. And that's what I want people to understand. I don't feel guilty because I did the very best that I knew how with what I had at the time or the information I had at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But is it right for me with the younger parents that we work with to say, well, I did all those vaccines and, you know, my kids turned out fine, so you should all vaccinate your kids. I don't need to defend the fact that I did that.
Mm-hmm.
It was the right decision for me at the time.
Mm-hmm.
in retrospect, I'd say it was not a good decision, and here's why.
Mm-hmm.
We did not know, well, first of all, we only had 9 vaccines, so let's just start there.
Yes,
so
not, please.
Yeah. So it wasn't like we were slamming these kids with all, you know, these 31 required vaccines we're going to talk about.
Within the time that children are, what, birth to 18 months?
Yes, and I don't remember any of my kids getting a vaccine before 9 months.
Okay.
And I don't remember any doctors feeling like they had to pressure anybody to do it. They just said, here's our recommendation. This is when we start them. This is the schedule. This is what we would have you do.
Mm-hmm.
And then they totally left us to make that decision for ourselves.
Right.
Now, granted, there were doctors back in the 1980s and starting to pressure parents, but it wasn't like it is today at all.
Yeah.
Let me tell you why I wouldn't do the vaccines today,
sure.
Or all of them, because we're going to talk about, we don't want to do the all or nothing thing.
Yes.
I found out when my kids were teenagers, and I have all boys, that the measles vaccine poops out, okay, so to speak.
Literally?
Literally.
Okay.
It just doesn't work after a while.
Okay.
So now all of a sudden you have to get all these boosters.
Right.
Now the one thing we know about measles with males is you get measles as an adult male, it can be an extremely serious disease.
Okay.
With extremely high fevers, and men can be less sterile because of that.
Okay.
Okay, so now I have 3 boys who've had that initial vaccine and have not had natural measles, and they're now saying, your vaccine doesn't work anymore.
Mm.
I felt like I just put my boys in a very tenuous position.
Because you gave them the vaccine to start with,
thinking it was lifelong.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
When really it's not.
No, and they're wanting to booster at 13 and 20 and all this stuff. Now, my kids were, to me, as teenagers, old enough to now have say in the integrity of their own body.
Okay.
Okay. There's a point where they should have say over their own body, even though they weren't 18 yet or things like that. And we actually sat down and had that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the decision I made at the time.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually what I told my boys. I felt like I was making the right decision at that time. I am discovering that it wasn't the right decision to have made,
mm-hmm.
and I apologize and ask you to forgive me for that. And they're like, yeah, that's fine. We know you were doing the best that you could.
Right.
But here's the situation for you now.
Yeah.
As males. This is your body.
Mm-hmm.
You can choose.
Mm-hmm.
So let's discuss pros and cons, and we did, of getting the vaccine, not getting the vaccine. What do you want to choose to do for you with your body?
Right. So now you're talking teenage years.
Yes.
So some people might say, well, it seems silly to put a teenager in charge of what could be a lifelong decision. So do you know if they've ever come back and thought about it again as like 20, 30-year-olds?
Yes, I have checked in with at least one of them
mm-hmm.
with regard to his 20s, in his 20s. And by the way, they all chose not to.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was their decision at that point. And
mm-hmm.
I said, listen, we'll revisit this as you get a little bit older. And, you know, if you have questions, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
One of them was going to college. And so now there's all these you have to get vaccinated before you go to college things.
Right.
I said, how are you handling that? And he said, I'm just not getting it done. Nobody's asking. Okay. So I said, well, as you evaluate this, how do you feel about it? And he says, I'm not doing that. I am not putting that stuff in my body. I'm a healthy person. I take good care of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And why should anybody tell me that I have to do this to my body? And I was like, okay, that's his decision in his 20s as an adult.
Right.
Now I have one who has children, and they're making different kinds of decisions, you know, with their children as
mm-hmm.
far as vaccine schedules and whether they do them or they don't do them. Sometimes I don't agree with the arguments because, again, we get into these emotional discussions about it. But at the same time, they're the parents, and they have to make the best decision they feel that they can make at that time.
Agreed. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't also think that we should be making the decision for other people's kids over my children because of other people's children. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think what I mentioned at the beginning of the show is there's these two very opposite camps
mm-hmm.
of vaccination.
Right.
We have on one side, we have everybody should get all the vaccinations all the time.
Right.
And then we have another group of people saying nobody should get any of that vaccines ever.
Right.
And that bothers me.
Yeah. It does. It bothers me, too, because it's I know better than you as a parent what you should do for your children.
Well, and what I do for my children applies the exact same way to your children.
Right.
Really? Well,
even though your children have different genetics than mine, yours have different needs than mine.
Different environments.
Yes. You have different family histories. You have all that. And so why should I then be telling you that you have to do that?
Exactly. To me, it is analogous to, like, let's say peanut allergies.
Mm-hmm.
We know that there's peanut allergies out
right.
there. But let's say, for the sake of argument, everybody has to eat peanut butter every day for lunch.
Right.
Well, we know that that's going to affect different people differently.
Yes.
Some people are going to be just fine and they'll gain some protein and some
right.
carbs
and
from it.
Their body will benefit from it.
Some people, for example, my dad, it has a severe peanut allergy. He would
die.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so there needs to be some allowability for that.
Exactly. But for some reason, we treat this vaccine issue very differently.
We do. And
how about we not treat it differently?
The other thing, Catherine, that really bothers me is the one person who does have the sick child. I mean, I care about that sick child. However, why should then all the other millions of children in the United States have to be vaccinated just because this one sick child might, maybe, could get sick and then die? And so that's, you know, like you said, everybody has to eat peanut butter, but there's this one child, this one person like your dad, who's going to get sick and die.
Yeah.
But if we don't eat peanut butter, we maybe might have a kid who's going to not get any protein in his diet. It might be the only protein he'd get all day, and it might cause him illness. But so we force everybody else who may have a reaction to it to do it.
Exactly.
And, you know, the thing that always gets me about those types of arguments is most outbreaks of the disease are among the vaccinated children. So I'm going, well, why is an unvaccinated child a threat to you? If they work so well, and why would I then make a decision to do something to my child that I may or may not feel led by God to do, which we're going to talk about before the show's over?
Yeah.
Because there's a maybe might possibility that somebody else's child might get sick if I don't. Do I not trust God in that too?
Right.
You know, so it's just such an emotionally targeting issue. And it just causes people to fight and argue with each other. And I'm defriending you on Facebook and I'm not talking to you anymore. And you might be my mother, but don't ever call me again, or, you know.
Yeah, it just seems crazy. It feel like it's gotten out of hand almost.
Uh-huh, yeah. And people ask me these questions all the time, and they're asking you as well. You know, when we teach birth classes or we're working with pregnant people, this is so hot.
Yeah, yeah. And they ask our opinion, and we're happy to give our opinion.
Right, and our opinion usually is, just like it is with birth, go ahead.
Yes, and yeah, I was telling Pauline as we were preparing for the show that taken me a long time to formulate what my stance is on uh-huh. vaccines. And to be honest with you, my kids are, they're slightly older.
Right.
I mean, my oldest is 12, my youngest is 6. You know, so you would have thought I should have gotten this worked out maybe 13 years ago. But but I didn't.
Yeah.
But, you know, it finally came to me, my position. And that is the same, like we've talked about with birth. Let's start with God is in control of our bodies.
Right.
And let's start with that we don't need anything.
Right, because he designed them.
Exactly.
To function.
He designed our bodies. He designed our immune systems to fight off disease. So let's just start there.
Okay.
And then we'll pray and we'll ask him, should we add on this vaccine? Should we add on that vaccine? And I encourage people to take it one at a time.
And then you can also, you know, we understand we do live in a fallen world.
Mm-hmm.
And is vaccines a provision from God for a way to battle that? Possibly. For you.
Possibly.
Yeah. Possibly not for you. And that's why that position is so key. And we do that with birth, too. Start with nothing. You're just going to be at home. You're going to just have your baby. God designed it to work. And then, do I need a midwife? Yes, no. What does the Lord want me to do?
Mm-hmm.
So this brings us to how we talk about, well, how do I know? Because people are going to struggle with, how do I know what God's telling me? How do I know what I should do? So, Catherine, let's just take a little break. We'll do just a little advertisement here, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about this spiritual side of decision-making.
Yeah. Good idea.
So, do you want to share how people can get a hold of us?
Yes, I do.
I'm so glad.
So, on Facebook, search Dunamas Center Ministries, and Dunamas is spelled D-U-N-A-M-A-S. On Twitter, go to @YourDunamasLife. We also have an email where we would welcome any of your questions or comments or concerns or thoughts on vaccines or whatever. Please contact us. That is dunamoslife@dunamoscenter.com. Or if you would like to call and be in touch with us, if you have questions about what we're talking about or would like to schedule, see Dr. Pauline or any of those.
Talk to you guys about birth.
Right. Yeah. Myself and my husband about any birth issues. The number to reach us is 719-231-7183.
And before we go back, I just want to quickly say you can get the new book, Won't Somebody Please Hear Me, at that website, dunamoscenter.com. And it will help people heal from traumatic birthing experiences.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited about that piece of work. Before we talk about pursuing God, we have a little bit of a problem in our country with us being able to do things the way God wants us to, don't we?
Tell me what you mean by that.
Well, you know, we're seeing states making mandatory vaccinations a requirement. And Mississippi was one of the first states, and California passed a law, and now Virginia's in the middle of making a law requiring 31 doses of 12 federally recommended vaccines, no exemptions. And when we say no exemptions, no religious exemptions, your doctors or your nurse practitioners have no exemptions to make a medical decision about you and your child. And they are just required to do it. So it's exactly what you were saying about if we require everyone to eat peanut butter and somebody's allergic to it, you're still requiring them to eat the peanut butter until they die.
Right.
So if a doctor or a nurse practitioner does an initial vaccination, they see a child have a reaction to it, and they're like, oh, this child appears to be allergic to something in that vaccine. We should not do this again. They're being told you do not have that medical discretion in this law in the state of Virginia.
Oh, that's so sad to me.
So now not only is our Second Amendment constitutional right to freedom of religious practice being affected, but the rights of the doctors to be autonomous in their decision making is being taken away. Like, so why did they even go to medical school? I mean, yes, I question doctors a lot, and they're like, well, people tell me they went to medical school. Well, no, I know that means they don't know everything and that I should go ahead and challenge them on things. But at the same time, who is the U.S. government to say that the doctor and the parents cannot have that discussion and make that decision on their own? Or who is the state government to say that?
Right.
You know, so I'm very, very, very concerned about this, if you can tell. Because it takes that choice away.
Exactly. So instead of saying, okay, everybody eat peanuts, now we're saying everybody eat this vaccine.
Which probably has peanuts in it, by the way. Okay, because it's one of the carrier agents.
Great. Let's throw that
on
top.
We're essentially saying everybody has to have peanuts.
And what is that going to do to people that can't handle that?
Right, their system is different. Because, you know, Psalm 139, God knit us in our mother's womb. He knew every detail of every individual.
Yes.
And that's why we are so keen on how do you connect with God to know what His best plan is. So if you live in one of these states and God is telling you your child will die if you have this vaccination, the state is saying, we don't care what God is telling you. You have to do it anyway.
I would really encourage some parents to be in touch with their legislators.
And their movers.
Right.
Because if it passes, I'm moving, you know.
Yeah.
And yes, granted, it may be on the top of the Rocky Mountains somewhere where nobody can find me by the time this thing is over in the United States. But at the same time, you know, when this law passed in California, there was a large exodus of people because part of the California law said that midwives, even at home births, had to administer those first vaccines after the birth.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So a lot of people who wanted to have home births because they didn't want to go through all this actually moved out of the state.
Wow.
And those are the people who work, by the way. So now I don't know how they're going to get their money to pay their you know, state bills and things.
That's a big decision.
I mean,
you know, my husband and I we're moving just within the city. And that's a big commitment. Yeah. Even, you know, not to mention being out of state where you have to find another job. You have to find another neighborhood that you, that's huge.
And it's crazy to me that in the United States of America, this is how parents are having to parent.
Right.
And it's like to protect their children.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're polarizing on this issue.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you found that when you were preparing it too, you found an article about mandatory vaccines in England.
Right. And at a boys' school, they came in and they were giving the vaccines to the junior high boys at this boys' school.
Because there were no exemptions allowed.
Ugh. And as they're administering these vaccines, 15 of these kids pass out on the floor of the gym.
Wow.
And they had to call paramedics. They had to take them to the hospital. And they had to stop giving the vaccines.
Good.
And then they're like, oh, it was just a bad batch. Really? How do you know it was just a quote-unquote bad batch? How do you know it wasn't?
Well, that doesn't make me feel better either.
Now you're, yeah. I know, but at the same time, it's like, how do you know it's not something that's inherent in the production of a vaccine anyway?
Or maybe these 15, I mean, like you said, it wasn't everybody.
Right.
But 15 of these kids were, you know, something about them genetically
predisposed them, yeah.
Yeah, to some sort of reaction.
So if their parents knew how to connect with the Lord and say, should this child be vaccinated or not, they're going to know, no, don't put that in my child. There's something going on there.
I've come to the point where I've decided nobody knows my child's body, or my body for that matter,
right,
better than the Lord. Because
right.
I don't even know what all goes inside my body.
Right.
But the one who created it knows.
Exactly. And so I know people are probably still out there going, so how do I do this?
Oh, you know, yes.
How do I get her done, you know, so to speak? Well, you know, we train in our birth classes and the marriage counseling and all that. We help people with how to pray and really connect with Jesus.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you a simplistic understanding of it. But sometimes, you know, without somebody actually there helping you, it may not be easy. But some people can really pick it up and take off with it.
Yeah, but if you want maybe one-on-one help, again, you can call us.
Absolutely.
Or email us, dunamoslife@dunamoscenter.com.
Right, and that 719-231-7183 number, you can get a hold of any of us. Mm-hmm. And really, we could, pretty much any of us, walk you through this if you needed a little help with it.
Agreed, yes.
So basically, when I'm leading somebody, so we're going to talk about vaccines in particular, I'm going to start with the problem, basically. I'm stating the problem. Here's my problem. Jesus, I don't know what to do for my child.
Yeah.
Okay, Jesus, you created my child. Jesus, I'm in confusion. Jesus, I want to make the best decision for him, but I just feel like I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
And I'm confused. And I need your help on that. And then the first question is, Jesus, are you here with me? See, we do a lot of talking at Jesus without making sure we're actually connected to Jesus. Okay. And then we start telling him what to do.
Yeah.
So the confusion reigns because a lot of people are like, Jesus, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Well, the first thing you do is stop talking and listen.
Yes.
Because we tend to do a lot of talking and we forget to listen.
Yeah.
I had a friend one time in a conversation who kept saying to me, then I told God, and then I told God, and then I told God, you know, as she was talking. Finally, I looked at her and I said, you do an awful lot of telling God. When do you stop and listen?
Yeah.
Okay. So we've asked the first question, Jesus, are you here for me?
Yeah.
Now I need to wait. Do I see anything? Do I hear anything? Do I get a word? Do I get a scripture? Do I actually hear Jesus say, yes, I'm here? Is it black and blank and I got nothing? Which, you know, I get people who say, I got nothing.
Yeah.
So the next question then is, you know, our statement, Jesus, I need to see you or hear you. I need to know you're with me. because I know you're the only one who can clear up this confusion about what I should do for this child you created. Jesus, can you show me where you are? Or can you tell me where you are?
Mm-hmm.
Now, people start to sometimes hear a little bit of a whisper or a voice, or they'll see a light off in the distance. And I usually have them ask, Jesus, are you in the light? Can you come closer?
Mm, yeah.
You know, till they feel like he's right there with them. Sometimes there is warfare going on and people can't break through it. So if they keep asking and asking and they don't see Jesus and they don't feel Jesus, I have them ask Jesus, is there something blocking me?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a demonic involved? And he'll, you know, a lot of times you'll know. And people go, well, how do I know it's Jesus? Well, you just asked for Jesus to tell you. So even if it sounds like your own brain, you trust that it's the Lord, because
yeah.
he'll correct us if we're getting it wrong. So if that's the case, we have to just keep saying, you know, Jesus, will you remove that from between you and me? Can you sit with me? And once you have a sense that, wow, the Lord is really here with me, I usually ask him if I can talk to him about a topic.
Okay.
Yeah. Jesus, can I talk to you about what I should do about vaccines for this child?
Hopefully he would say, yes, absolutely.
I've actually had him say, not right now.
Really?
Yeah. What I need you to do right now is just rest in me and trust me.
Aww.
But then you can come back later, because sometimes we're spinning out so badly. He just what we actually need that, at that point is not the answer to the vaccine, but the answer to trusting the Lord.
Mm.
You know? And
that's
then we
too.
Can start asking him, Lord, do I give this child any vaccines? A lot of times people might hear, no. Okay, I know right there, none.
Yes.
If you hear yes, you have to start saying, well, what in particular is it that my child needs?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're going to get something.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be all of them. I personally have to say your child probably doesn't need all of them, but I'm not Jesus, so, but you could.
Well, or can I just jump in and say, even if he does say all of them, it may not be all of them before they're a year old.
Absolutely.
It might be all of them by the time they're 5 or
right.
10. Or
yes, know. Absolutely. That's a good point. And so then if that's the case, the next question is, when do I start that?
Yeah.
See, oh, wait till your child's 18 months. Start it at 6 months. Because, see, we don't know what's coming down the pike,
exactly.
But he knows.
Exactly, yeah.
And so sometimes when I have felt like I'm not sure what the Lord's saying on something, and I start getting nervous, it's like, just go back to that, Jesus, can I just know you're here? Can I rest in you?
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes I'm like, I have no idea why he's telling me this. But then 6 months later, something happens. And I'm like, wow, if I had not done this the way the Lord said, I'd really be in trouble today.
Right, right. Pauline, we have gone from a heated discussion about vaccines.
Yes.
To a very nice, calm discussion about connecting with Jesus. And I hope our listeners appreciate that.
Right,
you know,
right.
We really want, you know, we may feel, you and I, passionately about this topic, but we really want to encourage people, especially walking your Dunamis life,
right,
to just really take this opportunity to learn how to connect with Jesus and try it. Try implementing it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And don't be afraid of, but he's not telling me anything, okay? Because usually that just means just take
wait.
A break,
yeah.
Or just wait, or just rest with me. Because, you know, he does say that his burdens are light, and that if you're weary, just come and rest in him.
Yeah.
And a lot of times that's just what we need. We just need our mind and our heart to relax,
mm-hmm.
rest in him, not spin out that I have to have the answer right this second. And it's amazing to me how many times the next day I wake up and I'm like, I know exactly what I'm supposed to do. You know, and Jesus didn't tell me yesterday. He did tell me, sit down, stop spinning, and rest in me.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden my mind clears, and now I know what I need to do.
Yeah.
And speaking of connecting with Jesus, you know, here at Dunamis Center, we're supported by donation.
Yeah.
So we do like to ask people to really connect with Jesus on whether or not they should support Dunamis Center so we can do counseling for people who don't have a lot of money. We can do our childbirth education. We can bring you these shows. And, you know, so you can do that on our website. There's like a lot of buttons that say donate. And you click one of those and it'll take you to our donate page.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can also send in a check. If you're not a, you know, card person or an online person, then please just, you know, feel free to send a check to 2143 North Academy Boulevard in Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80909. And so we would appreciate anything that the Lord would lead
you to
do. So I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard.
And I'm Catherine Pearson.
And thank you for joining us today.